parts of my heart. I want to see you, oh my Lord. I want to see you.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Amen. Looking forward to it, brother.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy,
I don't think you want.
Well, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
He's made us
holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. I like it. Amen. You want to make a grown man cry like me, you just sing like them ladies sang.
Yeah.
He's an on-time God.
Amen.
And I think we'll call that the subtitle of our message on harvest.
That's right.
He's an on-time God.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me tell you something, folks. The harvest is going to happen exactly when and where and how and with who.
Yes, amen.
That he ordained it to be.
Amen.
And I just happen to believe we're part of that crop.
Amen.
I surely do.
Yes.
God is good.
Amen. All the time.
All the time. Amen. 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 While you're standing, we'll just get right into it. If you would, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Of course, I realize in the day and the hour we live in, I think I said this before and a brother found it for me. I want an app that makes the sound of the pages of the Bible turning, because folks don't turn the pages of the Bible no more.
Yeah, right.
They just look at the screen. And that's not to make anybody feel bad. That's just the hour we live in.
Right,
I'll tell you what. Let this word be engraved
yes,
in your hearts.
Yes, that's right. Amen. Right.
And that's the Bible we're looking for.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to start with, let's see over here. Verse 7, and when you got it, say amen.
Amen.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true,
yep.
He that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door.
Amen.
That's why I had you stop at the door right there. And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Wow. Praise the Lord. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray, Father. Lord, once again, the reading of your word, Lord, is sufficient. Father, for the ears that would hear, Lord, but the heart that yearns and cries out, Father, for the deeper meaning, Lord, and the intimate relationship with the author of this word, Father, that's our desire tonight, Father. We ask that you'd come down and come out and speak to us, Lord. That's our desire. for your honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now, the reason that I read that is, as the Lord again dealing with me on these things, it seems like a strange scripture for me to read because we are, in fact, in the Laodicean church age. But in looking over the word of the hour, we find out that the prophet of God mentions quite often this open door. He makes it plain. He makes it clear that it was set there for a purpose. Now, we know that a door it can be described or used in many different ways. And it's a thing that as we have explained before, a door can be shut, but it can also be open while it's shut. By definition, if you unlock a door, even though it looks as if it is blocking the way of the passage, because it's unlocked, it's open.
Yes.
It may look closed to the natural eye, but it's open to those who know something that no one else knows.
Right.
They see the door. It looks like it's shut. Well, in fact, this door in Revelations, the Philadelphian church age, to many is still shut.
Right.
The Bible says it's an open door. For us, that means it's unlocked.
Yeah.
It still could be used to block the passage for those who do not know that it's unlocked.
Yeah,
but for those that know it's unlocked, they walk right up through it, turn the knob, and they go right through it.
Yeah,
so now we have another side to the open door.
Amen.
Now, the reason I read it out of the Philadelphian or the sixth church age is because the prophet of God taught something, and I remember many years ago, I've been around and acquainted with the message for 43 years, and when I first got saved and the Lord brought me right to the message, I remember there were, you know, and I'll use the word controversial, but maybe they were just doctrines and things that men were pondering and wondering about and conversing with and discussing. You know how it is. And some of them were arguing, yes, and some of them were disputing, yes, but some of them were trying to come to a revelation.
Amen. Right.
Now, remember, he's an on-time God. And the prophet of God even makes it clear to us that if it wasn't time for those things to be revealed, they would remain a mystery.
Right?
Now, we know that the seventh church age messenger, according to the scriptures, the seventh angel was sent for a purpose. And that purpose was to be used by God to unlock or open the mysteries that had been kept back and hidden throughout the ages before.
Right.
He used a term like this, tie up the loose ends. He said that was the responsibility and the ministry of the seventh angel. Now, in spoken word is the original seed, and I know I've read it here. Brother Branham also says he believed that his mission, the reason that he was here. Now, we realize that there were many reasons given. But now, in spoken word as the original seed, he's going to begin to speak words that only the original seed are going to make a connection with. So he said, my mission, I believe, to the world is to forerun the coming word.
Right.
Wait a minute, I thought the word was already here. What else is there to come?
Come on, brother.
Okay. I'm looking at it.
Amen.
Whether you realize it or not, I'm looking at that coming word.
Amen.
That would be you and me.
Amen.
In the mind of God, before the foundation of the world, I believe each one of us represented something that God was going to write down one day.
Amen.
And then he was going to let the words on the paper come to life.
Amen.
As it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that the Word and God are one, but he wasn't finished. He's an on-time God. Yes. What he wanted to do was express himself yes. through material, yeah. tangible yeah. attributes. Yes. Because God is a spirit.
Amen.
No man has seen God at any time. Right. But God wanted to be seen.
Yes.
So he set in motion a plan where that invisible God could come down.
Yes.
He had to come down.
Amen.
He couldn't go up because he was the highest thing there was.
Amen. Amen.
So he had to condescend down.
Amen.
And the way that he set this up was he knew because he had no beginning. Very, very difficult for you and I to understand. Come on. Think about it. I mean, I don't care how intelligent you are and whether you're a Kappa Phi and you're a 4.2 and whatever you are. A doctor, a PhD, degrees all over the wall. That's okay. I'm good with that. How are you going to understand a being that had no beginning and will have no end? How are you going to do it?
Amen.
The only way you're going to do it is to have been part
yeah.
of that being.
Yeah, good.
That's the only way.
Amen.
There ain't no other way.
No, sir. Amen.
Oh, I feel good.
Go ahead. Do it, man.
Now, we realize that God's plan required God to be just,
yes, yeah,
fair.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a chance.
Yep, right.
But he knew that there would be, because of the fall, a great number of people manifest on the earth through that fall that were not in his mind before the foundation of the world.
Right.
I like to classify them as collateral benefactors. Just the fact that they were given an opportunity for life and choice would make them a collateral benefactor. Now, the choice was theirs to make.
Amen.
Okay? In a way, you and I didn't have a choice. In a way. I want you to understand that. Now, in order for him to be a just God, he had to put everybody on the same playing field. So we do have a choice.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But what we are beginning to realize is that the choices that we make today were based on where we came from.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
Good idea.
In the mind of God, before the foundation of the world, he said, "Let me get my book out." Because all of my attributes are going to make the right choice. I don't care what condition they're in. I don't care what they have to go through. If they're my attributes, they're going to make a right choice. And he said, "Scribe, get that pen. Dip it in that blot of blood right there and you begin to write names on that book." Because them names are going to manifest themselves. Them's my attributes, them's my children. And at the end of their life, at least by then, they will make the right choice.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Now, some of us had to go through hell and high water to make that choice.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Others of us started when we were fresh and clean and young. And praise the Lord, you ain't wearing all the scars somebody like I got.
That's right, brother. Amen.
They're not tattoos now, they're scars.
That's right. Amen. Different.
Big difference. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
You wear a scar long enough, and it starts to fade. You know, it starts to blend in. After a while, it just becomes a part of you. And if you get old like me, you'll say, "I wonder, I know I got that little spot right there, but I don't quite remember how I got that." Then you make a story up. You embellish on it, you know. Now, I kind of remember something, but okay, so here it is.
Yeah.
God knows. God knows. We're scarred.
That's right. Amen. True,
brother.
So, in order for him to come across as just a responsible God, which he is, a fair. Because I know a lot of people say, "Well, that ain't fair."
Yeah, well.
Get your dictionary out then.
Yeah.
He spoke in parables.
Yes, he did. Amen.
I was referring earlier to you today, Matthew 13, it starts out parables. And of course, the disciples are wondering why you're, you know, what are you doing talking in parables? Well, I'm talking in parables because there are those that, I'm going to just cut it to the chase, that weren't meant to be.
Right.
But and they got and I want to be fair to them, so I want them to make a choice based on something they don't understand.
Right. Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
They don't understand what he's saying, so then they begin to, you know, look into it and study it and see. But to those who were his children,
yeah,
it's not a parable.
It
has a meaning.
Amen.
The word parable means a short allegorical story designed to illustrate or teach some truth, religious principle, or moral lesson.
Right.
It also means a statement or comment that conveys a meaning indirectly by the use of comparison, analogy, or the like.
Amen. Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Paul uses the word allegory. Or allegory, depending on how you want to pronounce it.
Right.
Galatians 4.
Yeah.
Allegory, a representation of an abstract.
Yep.
Oh, I like that already.
Mm-hmm.
Or spiritual meaning through, listen now, concrete or material forms.
Amen.
Of course, I'm thinking of cement.
Amen.
That's not the word.
Mm-hmm. Come on, brother.
Figurative treatment of one subject under the guise, which like a disguise
right.
of another.
Amen.
Okay, this is an allegory. A symbolical narrative.
Mm-hmm.
From a Greek word, allegoria, to speak so as to imply something else. Now, do y'all remember me coming here and preaching on Revelations, the book of symbols? So to you and I, the word parable and the word allegory are words that are from the Middle English language. They were used because King James Court and his translators found what they thought was the best word to represent in English the Greek or the Latin. So in today's world, we would use the word metaphor.
Yeah, right. There you go.
They've tried to turn it into a metaverse,
yeah, right.
Yeah. But it's a metaphor. A figure of speech in which a term or phrase is applied to something to which it is not literally applicable in order to suggest a resemblance. What's the dictionary, Brother Wade? I didn't put this down. The dictionary said, it said, as in, a mighty fortress is our God. When I saw that in the dictionary, I said, where'd this dictionary come from? Now, God himself, the Spirit, is not a mighty fortress, but a mighty fortress is our God, is a metaphor
Amen.
For our God.
Amen.
You got that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You're probably wondering, where is he going with this? Oh, I'm going right to the tent.
Go.
I'm going right to the door.
Yeah.
But just hang on. Is the door open or closed?
Right, brother.
The question is, the Bible says it's an open door. Then you have to ask yourself whether it's ajar, that means open like that,
yeah, right.
Or just unlocked.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
He's a just God.
Come on, brother. Amen.
It's an open door.
Amen.
For you and me, it's unlocked.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be literally open passageway. Why? Because Jesus didn't consider it when he walked into the upper room where the fellows was all crying over the crucifixion. He just come right through the wall.
Yeah, that's right.
What's up? What's up, boys? What? You know, doubting Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Listen to this. Metaphor. Something used or regarded as being used to represent something else. It said emblem or symbol.
Right.
From Latin and Greek, metaphora, to transfer.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Amen.
I saw that. I said, praise the Lord. I like that one already. But the reason that I read these to you is so that you could understand. Now, okay, watch this. Now, so when King David said in the Psalms, my bones, they stare at me.
Mm-hmm, right.
Was he talking of himself or another?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So when the prophet of God said, I'll ride this trail again, was he talking of himself
mm.
or another?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it would take the Holy Spirit
Amen.
through the revelation of God, the author of that word, to clearly bring the picture into development. Is that right? Now, I'm just using that as a metaphor. It's a parable. Well, when I began to look into the definition of harvest based upon the third part of it, and remember, God works in threes.
Amen.
Fives, sevens, eight, 10, 12. You understand.
Amen.
But three is what we're interested in because it's perfection.
Amen.
Five is what we spend most of our time on because it's grace, it's mercy, it's faith. You understand all that. But God Himself implemented a plan where He was perfected in three.
Amen.
So again, we have the three stages of the journey.
Yep.
Stalk, tassel, shuck.
Yep.
Now, the grain that is coming forth is not the fourth stage of the journey. It's the result of the first three.
Right.
Because the number four is the number of earth.
Yeah.
It's man's number. We're interested in God. As we know, because of the harvest, the stalk, tassel, and shuck represent the three stages of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you must have all three. Those three stages must be working in your life at all times in order for you to become the producer, the carrier of the life, so to speak, of the grain. But I learned something. Brother Branham preached a message called Three Kinds of Believers. And he broke it down and he said there's three kinds of believers in every church. And as soon as you hear that, you start going,
yeah,
I don't know about them.
Yeah.
What about them over there? And
yeah.
I don't know. I'm the only believer in the place. But I want you to understand the three kinds of believers was referring to the church.
Right.
Well, I'm speaking to the bride. I'm speaking to the grain.
Amen.
Did you realize that the grain itself, the wheat, the corn of wheat, also has three stages? Oh, yeah. I was taught this on a documentary about wheat. Think about where we're at.
Amen.
Three kinds of believers in every church. Now let's elevate again. Let's go to the grain elevator and let's get to the grain.
Amen.
The wheat grain or kernel is broken down into three parts. The bran or the outer shell, which is high in fiber. It'll scratch you.
Yep.
The next is called the endosperm or the pulp. It's full of starch. It's the part of the wheat grain that's not very healthy. Bran has some properties in it that will help you. The endosperm, which makes up 83% of the grain, is the part of the grain that science has figured out how to manipulate. Now I want you to say, well, that, oh, we're a biology lesson. Oh, it's a lesson on church.
Yeah, there you go. Come on,
brother. We understand the Lutherans and the Wesleyans and the Pentecostals, but do we understand ourselves?
Yeah, come on, brother.
Do we understand what part of the process of God that we are?
Amen.
But blessed be the name of the Lord. The kernel also has something called the germ. Now you run that word through your message concordance and find out where you're at. It's the germ of life that makes the difference.
Amen.
Now science and biologists cannot manipulate the wheat plant without the germ. But what they've done is they've manipulated the other two parts of the plant so the germ can't reproduce itself. Hybrid seed. You with me?
Amen.
Right? Oh, I'm getting to it. The bran makes up 14.5%. The germ makes up 2.5% of the entire kernel. I want you to think about it now. The bran is rough. Now, Brother Branham preached three kinds of believers in every church. He said that the unbeliever sets around. Now watch, the way we think, because I'm just like you. So the unbeliever is going to walk in the back door, they're going to hear something they don't like, and they're going to leave. It can be 40 years before they hear something they don't like and leave.
Amen.
I've seen it.
Amen.
And leave
the
Word of God for their own denominational differences. But that's just a little old tiny 14.5%. It's this 83% that's the danger. That's the make-believer. And Brother Brad said, that's the guy you got to watch. Now, brothers and sisters, don't be looking over your shoulders. Because I'm here to tell you that each one of us are represented as this kernel. And this guy right here you're looking at preaching to you is three kinds of believers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this thing out here is unbelief to the max.
Yeah. Right.
It don't like anything that's said.
Yeah. Right.
The guy there on the inside, the spirit, he'll contend and he'll reason and he'll... But the guy down in the control room, you know that 2.5% has to tell this 84%? Shut up.
Amen.
Keep to yourself.
Yeah.
That bread you're making ain't no good for nobody.
Yeah.
See, because that's where they get the bread that's not any good. You've heard of wheat, you've heard of bran, wheat bran.
Yeah.
The endosperm, the Pope, they can manipulate it into anything and it's just full of starch. And guess what it's doing? It's killing us. Catch it. So there's a spiritual man on the inside of you that wants you to die.
Yeah.
But if God's spirit is down on the inside, there's 2.5% of you that can control, that can create, that can destroy, that can speak, that can be silent and get more done than all the rest of the kernel.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
I said all that. So that you'd understand, God's perfected in threes.
Yeah. Amen.
Because what we're going to enter into here in a few minutes is what you and I have been told is called the third pull.
Mm-hmm.
Three. Now, see, because somebody says, who the third pull? No. We don't do that here.
Yeah.
Well, then you don't fish.
No. Right.
It's that simple. These terms are given to us so that we can come to an understanding of what God expects of us, but they're in parables.
Amen. Right. Yes.
They're allegories. They're metaphors.
Right.
Why? To hide
Amen.
The true intent from those who it was not meant for.
That's right. Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, you say, well... I don't know, Brother Chris. I mean, you know, I haven't been able to figure that out. Don't try to figure it out.
No,
I can't figure this out. I'm going to read to you in a minute where... Don't try to explain this.
Nope.
Well, what are you doing up there preaching? Oh, I'm not trying to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to explain.
Yeah, right.
It's not a public show.
Mm-mm. Right.
But that doesn't mean you can't shout.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen.
It's something going on the inside. You know that 2.5% of that little kernel there? It's doing some shouting.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Should be.
Because
that's me.
Amen.
When you realize who you are, you ain't going to be quiet. It's like that fellow that told Brother Branham, "Well, I really liked your message, Brother Branham. Tell that lady over there, start shouting."
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. He's trying to tell us something. He's not trying to tell us to be outward emotional and in the flesh and Pentecostal by denomination. He's telling us there's a life on the inside. And when that life begins to move and it begins to see what it is and where it came from, who it is and where it's going to do a little bit of shouting.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I can tell by looking at you, some of you have never shouted in your life. But we'll shout for the music, or we'll shout for the baseball or football game. We'll shout for this. We'll shout for that. We'll shout if we catch a big fish. We really shout if we don't catch no fish. You understand? But if something's moving on the inside, you can't help it but go, oh, at least a little, oh, oh, that's me. Uh-huh. Because there's life in it. That's the reason why there's life in it. Right? I just love God's word.
Amen.
It's the best.
Amen.
So let me move forward a little bit. I'm going to finish the paragraph I started with you earlier. I know it's in here. I got this far. Oh, she'll be a little bitty group. Jesus said. It's harvest time. Page 44 in this edition here. Watch, I'm just going to read a couple more sentences. Oh, she'll be such a little bitty group. See, that's that little tiny germ that's in that entire kernel. Because that's the stage of the journey we're at. It doesn't mean the other folks aren't saved.
No. All right, brother, come on.
Come on.
You got it.
There's millions going to be saved, but the bride, she's a little bitty group. Yeah. Think about the size of the plant in that little bitty seed.
Yeah.
She'll be such a little bitty group. Jesus said it was as it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls was saved. Is that right? So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It didn't say revealing. It said coming of the Son of Man. How many? I don't know. But see the bride. See how he's taking it now? The church has already got their reward. And it is salvation. And a lot of people would stop right there and go, that's all I need. Fine. We shouldn't be down on them or against that. Praise the Lord that there's salvation for the multitude. But the bride, she's made up so much differently. You know, that 14.5% and that 83%, they got to go along with the 2.5%. That germ, that life in there is crying out for some. What's it crying for? What in the world? If you were the kernel, if you were the corn of wheat, what would you need to cry out for? To bring forth after your kind.
Amen.
And his kind was life, not death.
Right.
That's where we're at.
Amen.
It's life calling for life.
Amen.
It's not life calling for death and then life. That happened 2,000 years ago. I can read to you somewhere in here where Brother Branham says Jesus went into the grave, and when he rose, that was perfection. Because he only needed to rise one time to prove you cannot kill that life. That life cannot die. But here we are 2,000 years later. Brother Branham preaches the message, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion. You can't crucify Jesus Christ two times. But what they didn't realize is they were crucifying the Word that He is. Not Him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And they crucified the Word made flesh. So what Satan decided that he would do in the hour we live in is begin to hybrid God's Word, to mix it, to bring it to a place where it could not reproduce itself and bring forth life. I got news for you, devil. You cannot kill that life. That life is here and now, and it exists in the hearts of God's children, and you cannot kill it. That's why they're waiting on us. As beautiful as it is beyond the curtain of time where the prophet went and they didn't sweat and they didn't work and they didn't have to go to the mailbox and get the bills out. They didn't have to go to work. They didn't have to get their own straw. It was happy.
Amen.
It was free.
Amen.
The temperature was perfect.
Yep.
They didn't get hungry.
Nope.
They didn't get thirsty. Did you know there was still something wrong with that picture?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother.
That was not the complete
nope.
plan
nope.
of God.
Amen. That's right.
It
Amen.
Was the process of the plan of God.
Yes,
sir. Do you know that everybody that goes before you and me is waiting for you
Amen.
And me?
Amen.
They,
yes, sir.
Listen now, they can't be made perfect.
No,
what?
Amen.
Why, it sounds like a perfect place to me. They're not eating.
Nope. Right.
They're not drinking.
Nope.
They're not walking down here on their inheritance.
Nope. Right, brother,
you see, they're waiting for something.
Amen.
That's right.
And I believe we got the devil's answer right here.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart. Absolutely. Listen careful now. How many? I don't know, he says. But see, the Bible, the bride is going to be made up of all down through. Then he pauses and he says, that had the word in their age. It's not just this last group. God is going to take the whole thing out of here. Oh no, it'll be so small. He says, it'll be surprising. They'll come up missing, and you won't even know they're gone.
Nope.
What if you...
Come on, brother.
No, by the way, see, I get launched off on that. Did you realize you're looking at me preaching to you, and I want you to know I'm missing?
Yeah.
And you don't even know it.
Right.
See, because the man on the inside is being raptured.
Right.
He's being caught up into heavenly right. places in
Amen.
Christ Jesus. I mean, he's really sitting beyond the curtain of
yeah.
time,
right.
but he realizes... That's not enough.
Right, man.
Mm. I can hide.
Man.
I can be missing. Mm. But that's not the complete cycle of God. It's to bring forth.
Right.
It's to produce.
Yes.
And what are we to produce? Life.
Amen.
Out of this dead substance?
Yes.
Substance?
Amen.
I'll tell you what the prophet said. You ain't living
yes.
without something dying. Well,
yeah.
Brother Branham, the Seventh-day Adventist, kind of shot out at him and said, I was surprised to hear you eat eggs and meat. What's wrong with that, brother? He said, well, you're killing substance. He said, so are you.
Yes,
yeah. The air you breathe, the lettuce you eat,
you
the enzymes,
uh-huh.
the germs. See, people, see how they are? They think in terms of denominational
right. yeah, there you go.
Differences.
Right.
That's not the way we're to think. We're to look at God's word and we're to say, this is God's plan. Now, where do I fit?
That's right. Hey, that's right.
And King David had a revelation. He said, let me be the gatekeeper.
Yep.
Let me be the gatekeeper. And in the day we live in, the prophet came and said, let me be the doormat.
Right.
You catch that? Let me be the door mat.
Amen.
You know why he said that? Because David was going to be the gatekeeper.
Because yeah, right.
he asked for it. Listen. They'll come up missing. You won't even know they're gone. What if he took 500 in this last days?
That's right.
Think about it. Think about the day we live in. They're snatching up children left and right by the tens of the thousands and they go missing.
Yeah. Right.
They're selling them and using them and abusing them and so forth. They all the time. Now, you might know somebody personally that happened to, but the world, who's Jane Doe?
Right.
It's not just this last group. God is going to take the whole thing out of here.
Amen.
They'll come up missing. You would never know it. Took 500 in a few days, time 2 or 3 days. There's that many people comes up missing across the world, and they don't even know where they're at. Never hear nothing about them. He stops and he says, the secret coming. Of the Lord
Amen.
Jesus,
Amen.
She'll be taken away.
Amen.
Do you realize the reason it's a secret is because nobody would know anything
Amen.
About it?
Nope.
And I'm telling you this because it's happening in you and me.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, we're waiting on the coming of the Lord. Mm. He's been here 2,000 years,
yeah,
as Charles Johnson would say.
Yeah, right.
He's been here 2,000 years.
Yeah, right.
He has.
Yes.
He's been here.
Yep.
That's how the prophet was given the ability to be able to produce the results. It wasn't William Marion Branham.
Amen.
He even says it on his own words and recordings. He said, it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So then, of course, people go, yeah. Oh, he's Jesus Christ. No, he didn't say that.
No, he didn't.
He wouldn't allow that.
Amen.
You and I wouldn't allow that.
No.
But he would allow for you to call him the bride.
Amen.
Because she is part of him.
Yes,
is that right?
Amen.
She's Mrs. Jesus.
Yeah.
Look at the day and age we live in. I won't preach on it, but it's chaos.
Yes, yeah, right.
If people don't realize we're in chaos, they may never realize it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So in Revelation 3, as we read about the Philadelphian church age, the prophet of God taught something. I'm going to go back to where I was at, this controversy that I'd heard 40-some years ago. They said, well, the prophet always comes at the end of the age. Have you heard that?
Yes, sir.
But if you read everything he said it's the previous age. So that's why he was born in 1909, if you want dates. Pentecost started in 1906. It began to dominate in 1914, 15, 16, right in there. But God set, now watch now, you got to be careful. God set an open door. Now that open door was not William Marion Branham. It was the Jesus Christ that was using William Marion Branham. He's the door to the sheepfold because he's the good shepherd. You with me? But and you say, well, man, how are you getting to the tent vision on this? It's a series of events.
Amen.
And because of the definition of harvest time, this series of events begins to separate, to cut, to shear,
amen,
according to the definition. Now, you and I aren't doing the separating.
That's right.
But we can be involved in what causes the separation. We can either go on that side or that side. But you're not going to be able to remain in the center because it's not the definition of harvest. It's separating. It's taking one thing from another and one thing from another. And do you know where you and I come in? You die out to yourself.
Amen.
You want to separate? Separate from your old life.
Amen.
Separate from your old thoughts.
Amen.
Separate from your dying body.
Amen.
There's a man on the inside. You know the old song, there's a man in here who turns water to wine.
Yep.
Do you see him? But he's in here. He walks on the water, gives sight to the blind, gives back life to the ones that's dead. He fed 4,000,
yep,
with 7 loaves of bread.
Yep.
He's here.
Amen.
But you've got to come to the realization that that is what is going on in your life. And brother and sister, if you can't see that far yet, you got there.
Oh, brother,
and it's all up to you.
Right.
It's not up to the pastor. It's not up to the teaching or the preaching or the tapes or the prophet. It's up to you.
Amen.
He's a just God. He's a fair God. Yes. And he said, you make the choice. That's why we're on free moral agency.
Right.
Brother Branham would say it like this. He didn't say, Wade, you're not going, and brother, you're going.
Nope.
He said, you two got a choice. You want to go or not?
Right.
But because of foreknowledge,
yes,
which is based on his knowledge of himself, he knew who would and would not because he knew who was in him or who was not. Now you say, well, I don't know about me, brother. You're making the choice. You want to be in him? Choose. Choose. All you got to do is choose. I was in him. And then, of course, there's this little black guy. Black and going, hey. Little guy over here going, hey. Think about it, bro. No, you're not the one. Remember what you did yesterday. Remember that thought you got, last night while you were praying. There's a guy over here who says, shut up.
Yeah, amen.
You got to get there.
Amen.
That's where we're at.
Amen.
It's harvest time.
Yep.
And harvest time is a separation.
Yeah.
And what's being separated in us is God's word and our reason.
Amen.
And our reason is not going to shut up even if we tell it to. What we got to do is we be got again to starve it to death.
Amen.
Because it doesn't have life after death.
Amen.
Once it dies. Now watch this now. I'm gonna get serious with you.
Wait.
It doesn't have life after death.
Nope.
You agree?
Amen.
Once the hybrid seed dies, it's finished.
Amen.
But guess what? The children of God have a resurrection power in them, and they have the ability to raise that stinking life up. Because that's what's going to happen at the judgment. Every stinking life that went down is going to have to be raised up and set at the white throne judgment. So let's not let it raise back. Let's leave it in the grave.
Amen.
How? By the words of life.
Yep. Sorry, brother. Amen.
Let them prevail. Let them be your driving force.
Amen.
Let them be your yea and your amen.
Right, brother. Amen. Yeah.
It's really, see, because people are like, oh, that's impossible.
Mm-mm.
So I can just say,
come on now.
It's possible. Yeah, that's what the disciples thought when a rich man couldn't go to heaven.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
He said, come on, guys. All things are possible
Amen.
With God.
Yes,
and all things are possible to those who believe.
Yes,
I am a believer. I don't care what the rest of me says.
Amen. Right. Right. Amen.
Now I'm bringing the rest of me under control so that it can't have an argument on whether I'm a believer or not.
Right.
It's just going to have to fall in line. Guess what it becomes? A prisoner.
Yeah. Amen.
A prisoner.
Yes. Yes.
That's why you can say, quiet. I ain't feeding you today. You have no chance. You've got a life sentence and you ain't getting out. That's the old nature. We've got to destroy that. All right? I'm going to turn the corner. I'm going to go over to the tent meeting now. Stay with me. I don't mean to wear you out.
You're good.
Okay? Now, how about you? Well, I'd say, well, open your Bibles, but I know it doesn't always work. So, but I'm going to turn to a couple of scriptures that I gave the brothers. I was going to read Revelations 3:14 through 20, which is the Laodicean age. Maybe I will. You got your finger still there on Revelations 3? All right. Now the sixth age is important because if you read the Philadelphian church age, the sixth church age, which you and I, because a lot of people think, well, I wasn't in the sixth church age. Oh, don't tell me you're not passing through the stature of a perfect man.
Right.
And you have to get to the sixth stage of that stature. And that sixth stage is represented right here.
Right.
You have to get to the stage where you see an open door because you kept his word, you kept his name, you kept everything you could keep. That's your stepping stone to the seventh.
Amen.
And guess what the number seven represents? Completion. You get to the seventh stage of God's plan. And you're almost there.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
So watch this. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation. Ooh, we're back to the beginning, he said. And from the beginning it was not so. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, see, that's somebody that's, I can't make up my mind. I say, make your decision and go all the way. Okay? I will spew thee out of my mouth because thou sayest I am rich. Oh, look at the day we live in. Don't you see it? And increase with goods. And have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see. Man, the Philadelphia church age has got it going on. Laodicean looks like a sick dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
But you got to get from one to the other.
Amen. Sure.
This is the part I like. How many believes God loves them?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Then I rebuke.
Yes.
And chasten.
Yep.
Oh no. Oh no. He's a God of love. He wouldn't dare spank me.
No.
Or send me to the corner. You don't know the God then.
That's right.
That we serve.
Right.
Because if he loves you, he rebukes and chastens you. Why? Because of the fall, brothers and sisters. Because of the condition we're in. Because of the state of things.
Yes. Right.
All right?
Amen.
Because we're dying.
Amen.
He loves us. So there's a rebuke and a chastening. And he says, be zealous therefore and do what? This is why God loved David.
Amen.
David did lots of things wrong. He had a guy killed. He had a guy, some people carrying the ark that was wrong, and a cart that was wrong.
Yep.
And when Uzziah died, oh my goodness, Uzziah, he said, oh, what did I do? And he repented.
Yes, he did.
And that's why God said, you're a man after my own heart.
Yeah,
I sure love you, King David.
Yeah,
get up.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to raise up a throne.
Yes.
And it's going to be called the throne of David.
Yes, it is. Amen.
And look at the things David did wrong. Oh, David had his mighty men in it. But he made mistakes.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
He's an example for you and me.
Yes,
amen. I'm not putting down my sword just because David fell on his face.
No.
I'm not putting down my sword because I fell on mine. I'm
going to
get up and keep on fighting the good fight. All right? Okay. Let's keep reading. Behold, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. Watch. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Okay, I'm going to stop. So the prophet of God gives us an indication of what's going on here. He refers us to a painting. Remember? Is it here in the room? Got that painting on the wall here? That's okay. You guys all know that it was a painting done by a famous painter. And when the art critic came and said, but that's a nice painting, but you forgot something. He said, what are you talking about? He said, look, there's no knob. They called it a latch then. There's no latch on the outside of the door. Oh, I painted it that way. Really? How come? Because you've got to open it from the inside.
Amen. Right.
And as we all know by code, when you have a front door, it opens in. Why? So you don't knock everybody off the porch.
Right. Amen.
Seriously.
Amen.
A retired carpenter, I should know that.
Absolutely. Amen.
It opens in. So if he's on the outside knocking and there's no knob or latch, no keyhole, he's expecting. Anybody home?
Mm-hmm.
There's no doorbell. He's knocking.
Yeah, amen.
And the prophet of God told us that he was knocking, the most pathetic picture he said in the Bible, was Jesus Christ. Listen now, he wasn't outside of the Presbyterian Church. Wasn't outside of the Methodist Church. He wasn't outside the Baptist Church or the Orthodox Church or even the Catholic Church.
Yep.
He was outside of his own.
Right.
Church knocking.
Right.
Come on, open up so I can come in.
Yeah, that's right.
You with me?
Yes.
I knew this was going to take a while, Brother Wade, and I didn't want it to take a long time. Okay, so I'll cut to the chase a little bit, okay? So we have an open door, which is a door that's unlocked between the sixth and the seventh age.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what it is. It represents the message of the hour.
Right. Sure.
This is unlocked to whosoever will.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
But in order for the door to be open, I said it was unlocked. But in order for the message of the hour to be opened, now we're in the Laodicean church age. He's knocking on the door expecting you.
Yes.
That's right. Amen.
To open. And once he gets in there, we're told that, you know, if you're real grumpy, you can have a seat. But if you're real friendly, say, you hungry? Yeah. There's plenty in the fridge. Help yourself.
Yep.
Take your shoes off. Mm-hmm. Watch now. Wait a minute now. So now they got into the living room and the kitchen. Ooh, but don't go down the hallway. Mm-hmm. I haven't made the bed today.
Yeah.
Pillows aren't all fluffed up. Doesn't look good.
Yeah.
I know the ladies. Honey, what are you doing all? I don't know. Nobody comes in our bedroom. Yeah, I know what this is. His pillow's all got to be right here. Mm-hmm. Gotta look good. Why? In case he comes in.
Yeah.
Not literally.
Yeah.
Get your mind out of the gutter. I'm talking about the church now. I'm talking about the bride.
Right, right.
But the prophet of God tells us that's where a connection is made.
Amen.
You don't just let him in the living room after you open the door. Three kinds of believers. Body, spirit, and soul, living room, kitchen, bedroom.
Yep. Right.
You're a three-room house.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Amen.
I'm having a good time.
Go.
I'll tell you why, because you don't realize it, but things are just spinning around inside of me. But I'm going to get to the door of the little room. That's all I'm going to get to. Okay? Now, in order for me to make sure you understand, I am not interpreting what we call the tent vision. But I want you to also hear me that in my lifetime, some of the things that Brother Branham says in the progression of the tent vision have happened in my life. Some of them happened in his, the first part of it, Mexico City. You say, Brother, you're stretching it now. I won't be stretching it if it happens to you. Because this is interpreted by it coming to pass.
Yeah.
That's the reason why people are disputing and oh, no, it means this and it means that. And it means exactly what it said.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But it's a parable.
Yep. Right.
It's an allegory.
It's a parable. Yep.
It's a metaphor.
Yep.
It stands for something. That's why I wanted you to see. Oh, my bones, they stare at me. David's bones weren't staring at him.
No. Right.
And literally, Jesus' bones were not literally staring at him, even though they were probably sticking out of his rib cage. You could see it, but you know what I'm saying? He was referring to that valley of dry bones. They were staring at him. They were gawking at him while he was hanging on the cross. You see, David was speaking allegorically. In a metaphor. That's what this is. And if a prophet didn't interpret it, then it has to come to pass in order for it to be understood.
Right?
Now you say, well, I don't see that coming to pass in my life. Oh, you just knuckle down a little bit and you see this coming to pass in your life. Watch this, and I'll give you this part and then I'll move on quickly. So in this series of events, Brother Branham talking about starting out, he was in the room literally with his wife, and his wife and him were talking, and he was talking about being hung for $15,000. That he had to pay back, and he believed he needed to do it before he went back out on the field, because he said, if God sent me, God would take care of it. And he left a meeting in California, and he was intending on telling his family all the way through all the states while they were driving back to Indiana. I'm going to tell him when we get to Arizona. I'm going to tell him when we get to the state line. I'm going to tell him when we get here. I'm going to tell him, no. Was he embarrassed? Did he not know how to say what he wanted to say? Did he think it would hurt their feelings? I don't know. I don't know those things. All I know is he waited until he got back home, and then he began to tell them what happened. And he was talking with his wife, Mita. And as soon as he said something that triggered, he started to go off. To a vision. Now, I'm sure he was just standing there, but he started to go off in a vision. And I happen to know by reading enough of the message to know that Sister Mita recognized, and Billy Paul recognized immediately when the angel of the Lord was coming near, and they would begin to back away. Why? Because Brother Branham was being taken. He was physically right there.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Right.
But he himself was being taken as a prophet into a vision. And he began to see, just like you watch television, he began to see this series of events or event, whatever's taking place, like when he's discerning people.
Yep, right.
Did I say that? You ever heard him say that? Is that true?
Yep, right.
Because he's saying what he sees. He's not absolutely cognizant of those things. Okay? So he's going into this vision, and I'm paraphrasing it so it'll accelerate. And he gets to this spot where he's going to go fishing. Everybody in here probably knows this. But I want to use this to get to the next point, if it's okay.
Amen.
And he talks about, in the message, being led of the Holy Spirit. I have almost everyone of them here. What is a vision? These were all in 1956. Now, he does talk about this in the seals. But this is right after he began to become involved in the recognition of what these things meant. Now, at first, he didn't know. He didn't even know what the little brown children are pulling the wagon. Later on, he recognized that that was the fulfillment of that part of this vision when he went and preached in Mexico City and they got rained out and they tried to take him here and take him there and all kinds of things happened. Okay? Now, let me put this aside. Let me go to where he is fishing. Are you okay with that?
Amen.
All right. The angel of the Lord tells him, I'm going to teach you how to fish. I want you to think about something now. This is William Branham, a fisher of men and a really good fisherman. At one time, I saw the fish and I was told that it was the world record rainbow trout that he caught, and they taxidermied for him. I said, so watch, I'm saying all this because he's a fisherman. But the angel of the Lord says, now I'm going to show you how to fish. Brother Branham says, I know how to fish. Yeah. Well, watch. He says, hang on. Bear with me. I showed up at a lake. I walked on. I passed some ministers. And then I walked a little further and I came into a great panoramic affair. Then I went further into the vision. So you can go back and read all these things. I'm skipping forward. Amen. And when I did, I was standing with a little baby shoe. You've all heard this. In one place, he calls it a moccasin. Okay? And I got this shoe's got little bitty eyelets. It's not a booty. It's a shoe. And I had a string in my hand, and I was trying to lace this little 1/8 inch hole in this eyelet. You know how small a little eyelet is in a baby shoe. And I had a string in my hand and I was trying to lace this little 1/8 inch hole in this eyelet with about 1/2 inch string. About the size of my pinky. It ain't gonna work.
Nope.
Okay? Just working fervently trying to push that string through. Now remember, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you all this because this is a metaphor. It's a parable. It's an allegory. He's seeing it. He's explaining what he sees, but it represents something else. What it represents is him trying to force that big string through that little hole. The angel says you cannot teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Now, he didn't say he couldn't teach the Pentecostals. He said Pentecostal babies. They needed to grow up. They needed to get bigger eyelets in their shoes. That string needed to get smaller.
Amen.
Which if you follow it along, it does. Watch now.
Right.
He said, I heard something whipping around. Okay? You're using the wrong end of the string, the angel told him. Brothers, I'm going back between three messages, so you try to keep up with me. And I recognize that voice. You can't teach babies supernatural things. You're using the wrong end of the string. And I looked down at the end of the string lying on the floor, a great big pile of string, and it was laced down to a nice 1/8 inch. So the other end of the pile of string was the right size to go in this shoe. It was laced down to a nice 1/8 inch so it would go through the hole. And I said, I understand. And as I reached to pick up the string, see, so he came to an understanding of what it meant. He began to pick up the string and he was taken again.
Yeah.
That's over. Mm-hmm. Now you might this down. He says, watch it come to pass. As I started to reach down, I was gone again. Then when I come to, I was standing by the side of a beautiful lake, something like your lake here. He's preaching in Chicago. In the summertime when it's pretty and green, and there were fishermen all around the lake, and they were fishing, but they were catching small fishes. And I looked out into the lake, and those great, big, beautiful rainbow trout out there. Now remember, he caught the world record rainbow trout. But in this vision, he sees these great, beautiful rainbow trout, and he said, I know this is a vision, he says it, but I can't understand those trout.
Yeah, come on. Right.
Amen. He's not here. Of course he can't understand those trout. Because the revelation is progressive and it keeps moving. It doesn't stop. And he got to a point where God took him home. You'll read all the stories he said about it. You will never find one place where he caught one of those rainbow trout. And he's a fisherman. And the angel of the Lord told him how to catch them. But where did he go wrong? Does anybody remember? He tried to explain it.
Yeah, right. Amen. Yeah.
That's why I'm not trying to explain this to you.
Amen.
No matter what you think.
There you go.
Because I can't.
Nope.
It's revealed by revelation.
Right.
It's just like the seventh seal.
Right.
You can't explain the seventh seal to anybody. Why? Because it's silent.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question? I know you're all thinking. Well, some of you are sleeping, but I know you're all thinking. But I don't hear a thing. So when the seventh seal was opened, it was silent because it represented something that was silent. Quiet. Brother Branham said, you know all the noise that's made out there. Try to hear the earth turning at 20-some, whatever miles per hour. It's spinning around. Some of you students probably know. You can't hear a thing. And this thing's moving.
Yes.
If it wasn't for gravity, we'd be flung off of it.
That's right. Right.
But you can't hear it. There's something else that you cannot hear. The mind of God. But it's represented in the manifestation of its thoughts.
Amen.
You with me? That's where you and I come in. That's why this is all becoming so real to me. You might think, well, you're crazy. Okay.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah, sure.
I've been called worse.
That's right.
Listen. So now I'm going to get around. I did the rainbow trout thing. You can read all that. There's so much in it.
Right.
Now he gets to the tent. Another progressive dimension in this vision. He says, and oh, all the people, they look like they went around the tent and out a city block or more, a great line of people. And they were all standing around there with their prayer card. And I seen a woman in an ambulance stretcher was laying, and man behind her was standing on crutches. So they were standing there waiting for their turn. There was a lady taking down their names. That never happened at one of Brother Bam's campaigns. And then there was a canvas stretched here that no one could get around that tent. You ain't getting in no other way. You're coming through the door or you ain't coming at all.
Amen.
Now I want you to watch this and listen how it is now. You watch the difference. Then I heard that whipping. Like that always, every time we have a healing service, that's just what happens. That's the way it always sounded. It sounded that way in the bush that time when I heard it. Moses heard the same thing, see? And I looked, and here went that real soft light moving away from me and went down and went into that little building. We went from a tent to a little building. Do you know that Brother Branham used the first five verses of Psalms 27 for the message, the rapture? And when he got to the fifth verse, he talks about the fifth verse in Psalms is pavilions and tabernacle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
So, Brother Wade, I got my little Strong's Concordance out there, and I said, I'm going to see what the definition is of pavilion. I know what a tabernacle is.
Yes.
A tabernacle is a stretched skin.
Yeah. Amen.
Are you a tabernacle?
Yes.
Oh, I'm a tabernacle. Amen. You're a tabernacle, amen, whether you like it or not. You're also a tent.
Right. Amen.
What is a tent? It's a mobile shelter. Without a permanent foundation held down by stakes and lines. That's what the dictionary says. You know who else was a tent?
Yeah.
Abraham. He was wandering around looking for a city whose builder and maker was not man. And he'd move his tent from place to place. And people would say, Abraham, you're out of your mind.
Yep.
You say God's talking to you. You left a, listen now, a good job. Yeah. He was in the tech industry. He made idols. And he came from a super wealthy family and a super wealthy place.
Yep.
Okay. God talked to you. You kind of wonder in the day we live in what milkshake he was drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Think about it. Right. I mean, because that's the way people would. When I got saved, they thought I OD'd.
Yeah. Amen. Sure do.
I'm going to find something for OD that works better than OD.
Right. Okay.
But it was the Lord.
Right.
Called me right off the street.
Amen.
And I, who's that? What is going on inside of me? How come I'm not happy? How come I'm not content? How come this? How come that? How come this? Pick up your cross and follow me.
Amen.
Do I have to carry the cross?
Mm-hmm.
Pick up your cross
and
follow me.
Amen.
You know the song, the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb.
Amen.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Right,
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, I'll come to an end. Because I know this is long, and watch now. That little building, he says, now I'm in another, and there's something different between the light and the angel. Because he was still here with me, and the light had went into the building, and this angel still speaking behind me, which is a big man. He said, I will meet you in there. So then I said, I don't understand why in there. This is the prophet.
Yep, right.
He said, watch. And this woman went, and she come out of there on the ambulance stretcher. She was pushing the stretcher out the other side. So she went in on a stretcher, and down the street she went.
Right.
Okay. And the lady, and she said, the lady asked her, what happened? She said, I don't know.
Amen.
You getting this?
Amen.
I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You went in the room on a stretcher and you're pushing the stretcher out the other side. What do you mean you don't know what happened?
Right.
This is that third pull.
Amen. Yes.
See, that's what he says. He's saying it all along in different places.
Right.
And nobody will know nothing about it.
Nope.
But brothers and sisters, the reason for that is the devil can't get it.
Nope.
It's happening in you and me, and we're like, huh?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I don't get it. But my question to you is it happening?
Right.
Of course we don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't explain it. But something on the inside is working on the outside. Oh, what a change he has wrought.
Amen.
This is going to change our mortal bodies. Not my ministry, not what I'm preaching, but what the revelation of his word is.
Amen.
And you've got to want to stay with it. Even don't worry whether you understand it or not. They had no idea who was talking to Abraham.
No, right, man.
Abraham, you're nuts.
Yep, right.
Sarah, his church. Well, I'm married and he's my Lord, so. Okay, I don't understand. I had air conditioning, a washer and a dryer, a refrigerator. I had all this stuff. And you're dragging me around the wilderness.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Do you know why? Character.
Yeah. Amen.
We need a little character.
Amen, brother.
And when you need some character, he's going to drag you around.
Amen.
Tell you,
amen,
get up and go, okay, I got that. I'm good.
Amen.
Okay? Now listen now. I'll get to the end of it. I know somebody's laughing. Yeah, right. happened. She said, I've been in this stretcher. Said, I've been down in bed for years. And here come the man out packing his crutches. See, because another guy went in after, if you read the other parts. And they asked him what. He said he didn't know he was coming to the platform to testify. Oh, he was coming to the platform to testify. And somehow he ends up on one side of this little room and goes through and comes out the other side. Says, I have no clue.
Yeah, right.
That's happening right now, whether you realize it or not. Because I know people go, I ain't got no clue what this man's talking about. I don't have to have one either. That's the beauty of the whole thing. Stay with the Word. Because this is God's Word, and there ain't none of us all put together going to comprehend God. But if we remain obedient and chaste and subjected to God's Word, eventually it's going to become the wheel. In the middle of the wheel. You think what I'm telling you is crazy? I challenge you to read Ezekiel chapter 1. It goes from one dimension to another, from one vision to another, from one metaphor and parable and allegory to another. Watch this. Sorry, I'm preaching too much. And I don't, now watch what the prophet says. He was coming to the platform to testify, and Brother Branham says to the angel, I don't understand that in there. You know why? Because that part of the pyramid wasn't written on. He interpreted the outside of the pyramid. And when he drove that crowbar, that sharp object in the top of that rock, that cap rock, and popped it off, what did he tell the people? Look on this. And you can imagine, if there was no writing in there, sis, and you looked in there and goes, what? He said, most of the people did not do what he told them to do. Here's what I believe. You stand and look down in there long enough by obedience, and there will come writing. There will come words. There will come recognition. There will come revelation out there. And you go, whoa, man, I never saw that before. You know why you never saw it before? Because you never looked long. You got to stay with it, brothers and sisters. You can't let it, you know, it's got to become your driving force in your life. No, you don't have to become a religious nut.
That's right, brother.
You just have to become obedient. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. You're that body. You're part of it.
Amen.
Believe that. I don't understand that in there. And watch, he's always scriptural. See, Brother Branham, now the angel is taking him back to the scripture. He said, did not our Lord say, when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites that like to make a show? That wouldn't have been the third pull because it's not a public show. He said, enter into the secret closet, and when you've done so, close the door.
Amen.
Hang on. I'm stopping. Oh, I'm stopping, but wait until I get to the part I'm stopping at. This got me. Y'all think that, you know, like, oh, man, gee, wow, This just comes to me. I mean, I was traveling over here, and I was looking for something else. And I said, oh, I see the door in the vision. You can read the other versions. I just wanted to read you the one that got me all here. We could take hours. We don't need to. Go back and look for yourself. But watch what he says. In Revelation chapter 4, part 3. And these cherubims. Oh, hold it. I'm going to Genesis, brothers. I tell you, it gets hot.
Amen.
You want to get into the tent vision? You go to Exodus, where it talks about the tent of meeting. It didn't say tent meeting. It said tent of meeting. The tent of the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to take you to Genesis because I ain't got time for that one. I'll hit that when I get home. Listen now. Genesis 3, starting at 22, and the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims."
Amen.
"And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Ooh, I'm having a good time.
Amen.
Door. Any means of approach, admittance, or access. Any gateway. Marking an entrance or exit from one place or condition to another. Listen careful. Comes from a Greek, from an old English word, D-O-R, meaning gate.
Yeah.
Right. Wait a minute. It doesn't say gate in Genesis 3 down here in verse 24. The prophet said gate.
Yes,
but watch this. It says, "And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Who is the door? Who is the truth? Who is the life? Who is the way?
That's right, amen.
Wait a minute. The word gate. It means a breach.
Mm-hmm.
Or a hole.
Yep. Right.
Wait a minute. I was having a ball. You can imagine. The word way.
Yep.
And you say, no way. I say, way. My wife knows.
Amen.
A way. It's a passage or channel from the origins for the word road, thoroughfare, or highway. It's a passage.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
You want to go where God wants us to go?
Amen.
Then you've got to meet the challenge.
Yes. Amen.
And these cherubims first mentioned was placed at the east gate of the garden going four ways. I should have made that a little different from that. Brother Brandon, referring to a drawing. From a little different than that, I can't do justified to God's orders and things like that. But so that you'll know what I mean, there's the Garden of Eden. He's referring to a drawing. And this is the gate right here. You with me? Because I'm closing. There's an open door. We found out that it's just unlocked. Then he's knocking on the door to your heart, and you have to open it, and it opens this way. Is that right? Watch what you have to do now. Watch the door on the tent vision. You shut that door. In the tent vision. Listen careful.
Amen.
There's the Garden of Eden, and this is the gate right here. It opens up here. It swings out.
Mm.
It swings out. You know how when a gate swings out, you got to pull on it, and then you got to walk through it,
yeah.
And you got to turn, click, and latch it so the neighbor's dogs don't get in and your cats don't get out.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Amen.
That gate that was placed in the Garden of Eden is now freely entered.
Amen.
By those who have invited him in by opening the door inward and traveling with him through their three-room house.
Amen.
Till you get to the gate. Now that gate doesn't open inward, it swings out. There's a reason for it. Because he wants you to open.
Absolutely.
That
That's
gate.
Right.
It's a challenge. Oh no, brother, you don't understand. I see angels with flaming swords. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But guess what they're doing? They're not keeping the way of the gate any longer. Because of Calvary, they're asking you to come and open the gate. But it requires effort on your part because it opens outward, not inward. That's where we're at. That's what is going on in the world we live in today. And brothers and sisters, it's okay with me if you dispute it or you don't agree with it, but I challenge you to try it in your life. And see then, watch, if this series of events that he spoke of about this vision don't become your harvest. Because it's going to require, see, the definition to be fulfilled.
Amen.
It's up to you and me.
Amen, brother.
Oh, no, brother, we're waiting for the reapers to come. I hear this all the time. I'm waiting on the coming of the Lord. Well, you're just going to sit there and wait.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
And people, I know. Oh, no, brother Bram says that we're waiting on the coming of the Lord. Yeah, but have you ever gone to a restaurant and had the guy that's supposed to serve you sit over there?
Yeah.
He's called a waiter.
Yeah. Right.
He'd be all beat out of shape, man, if he says, hey, help yourself.
That's good.
I ain't got time for you, but leave a tip. Think about it.
Come on, brother. Amen.
When you're waiting on the Lord, you're waiting on the Lord.
Amen.
You're serving the Lord.
Amen.
You're asking, what do you need? I need more of you. Okay.
Good.
You get it?
Yes.
Please stand. I know I'm crazy, but just stand. God is so good.
Amen.
I'm telling you. And you know what? I don't mean this to be in your face, but I'll say it like the prophet did. If this is crazy, leave me alone because I feel pretty doggone good.
That's right.
We're going to sing Come and Dine. Key of C, probably. Because this is the master's table. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and he invites his chosen people, come and dine. In his manna he does feed and supplies our every need. Oh, to sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master mine, and come and dine. Now you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. You fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry, call it now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called to them, oh, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry, call it now, come and dine.
Come and dine.
Amen.
That was a good meal we was eating on. I don't know why he quit right in the middle of the course. Chris, you have to come back and finish it, man. Okay. All right. Everybody like to have him come back and finish it. Fill that in. And bring us some more because that's good. That's a good job. I love it when I can sit and listen to that all day.
Amen.
You know, you just wear yourself out shouting and screaming. Some preachers just wear their self out shouting and screaming, but I like that good, slow, steady. You never seen an ox shout. An ox just 1 foot at a time. He's pulling a load, and that's what our brother does. Just give him another good hand. God bless him. Good to have him with us. We always love Brother Chris. He's got a lot of wisdom and got a lot of faith, and he has a good group out in Cottonwood, Arizona, and we really appreciate him. Appreciate bringing his wife with him, Sister Joanna. They're just family. Amen. Just part of the family. We just meet another piece of the family today. So, but God bless you. Thank you for coming. Again, like I said, this is the 51st anniversary. Tomorrow will be 51 years that the church has been in operation, and we sure appreciate the Lord for letting us have this time and have just, we've only had two pastors in 51 years, so a lot of people hadn't had two pastors in a year, some of them, so. But that stability, folks, you got stability like Brother Chris was saying. We got to be stable to go up that statue of perfect man. Didn't Brother Brown say all the chinks, you got to knock, you know, make sure the holes are no cracks, make sure the holes are filled up, sort of hold water. Right. Amen. And what was he pouring in that bucket? He was pouring honey. Because it will hold. And that's why we're here. Amen. We're here to come together and bind together and bring our little lick of fire. So God bless you again for coming. Thank you for being here. We're going to go downstairs and eat a natural meal now. I still want to, I'm going to pull his ear a little bit more this afternoon on the spiritual side. So leave him alone. And he's mine. I'll share. You're welcome. So anyway, all right, well, just remember these, all these things that are going on. Also, listen, next Sunday, if you are going to Ohio next Sunday, now, we're not going to Ohio next Sunday. If you're going to Ohio, period, next Sunday, we need to meet after the second service just to kind of start getting everything together. We've only got 3 weeks to go and before we leave, so we want to kind of get the itinerary down. I asked Sister Regina Arline if she would be the event coordinator, which she's done that a lot in her life, and y'all can get mad at her and not me. And you won't get mad at her. She's kind of old, and, you know, you don't get mad at old people. So. And she's stately, so she'll be able to say it to you in a nice way where maybe I won't. So, but she's going to be the one that I'm going to give her I'm going to give it to her, and she's going to give it to y'all. Okay, and if you got any questions, talk to her. All right, and if she got anything that she can't handle, then she can talk to me. So I'm going to let her take over that as far as getting the bus ready and getting all the things ready to go. We've got rooms rented, and they actually went, the Ohio group went and rented a van with their own money, rented a van. So we're going to have a small van to shuttle people back and forth if you need to go back to the motel and get different things. But next Sunday afternoon after the second service, if you're going, please try to be here, second service. After the second service, we'll kind of sit down in here and may go downstairs, and we may just stay up here, and we will discuss what's going on. That will be after we have communion and foot washing, which will be next Sunday also. Bible study is this coming Saturday night, 6 to 8, as usual. We'll be Zooming for the people know how, and if you can't make it, we'll be Zooming where you can chime in. So also, one more thing, if you're going to the Bethel camp, which is October the 30th at Brother Jason Watkins up in, it'll be in Traveler's Rest, which is not far from here. A lot of you went last year. Registration is open now, so if you want your kids to go, you need to see Brother Richard Roberts or see Brother Joe Canada about that. Also remember that Brother Aaron will be speaking for us on Wednesday night. So just keep all that in your prayer. Pray for Brother Chris and Sister Joanna. They're leaving. They'll be going to Birmingham maybe sometime Monday afternoon, and they're flying standby, and it took them 2 days to get out here. Let's pray that it'll take them only one flight to get them back to Arizona. Amen. I mean, I wish they grounded him for a while and he could stay here, but he's got a house to build, and he's getting ready to go to Norway. So you need to pray for brother Mike Altig and Brother Chris are going to Norway for a week.
Yeah, 10 days.
10 days, a couple of weeks from now. So just keep him in your prayer. Give him traveling mercies. And the way they're canceling flights, y'all may have to take a boat. You never know. So, but we, you know what? We got a God.
Amen.
You know what? This morning, when we walked in the door this morning, there was no internet service for us to be able to get the service out to the people. It was going down, just going crazy. And Brother Anderson said, if we can't get that thing, which the little number there, if we can't get that number back up, So we're just going to have to copy it and then send it out later. We know a God.
Amen.
The whole service this whole morning never missed a beat.
Amen.
It went right out like it was supposed to. And that was God.
Amen.
Boo, devil.
Amen.
Boo, devil.
Amen.
The technology God's got is way better than the one the devil's got.
Right.
Amen. Or anything man can come up with.
Right.
So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed. I'll let the young children go first, and maybe the older ones go ahead and get in line to eat. But eat what you want to and fellowship for a little while and tell Brother Chris how much you appreciate his ministry, because we sure do. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. I pray that you'll sanctify this food and nourish our bodies. I'm talking about the one we just heard. But also as we walk downstairs, we have to have the natural food, Lord, to make cells and to keep us going during our daily walk. Father, as Brother Chris was talking about, that pulp needs to be refreshed every once in a while with some food. But Lord, may we chew on this spiritual food for a while. Bless the food downstairs, but Lord, you've already blessed this food that's here, Father. Now I pray that it'll bless our hearts, it'll bless our minds, and it'll keep us stayed on you, Lord. It'll show us vision of what this message is about, Lord, and not just be do's and don'ts and come to church when we need to and that's about it. No, this is the life.
Amen.
This thing is a living organism, not an organization. It's an organism. And this organism has got to be fed. And Lord, I believe we got fed today. Now I pray that you'll help us downstairs as we go, sanctify the food and nourish our body down there. Be with Brother Chris and Sister Joanna, Lord, as they continue back. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that they will get back to their home.
Yes,
safe and sound, Lord, in a small period of time, Father. And that you'll bless him on his way as he and Brother Mike Ulte goes to Norway. Father, we pray that you'll give them fruit for their labor.
Yes.
That you will keep them strong in their body, Lord, that they can preach your word like we know that they're going to.
Yes.
And that souls will be saved. That, Lord, lives will be changed. That people we will become more and more like you as they minister, Father.
Amen.
Just bless a little bride around the world, Lord. Just be with us now as we continue, Lord. Bless the ones that are on the highways going home. The ones, Lord, Brother Bob and Brother Luis and the different ones, Sister Rachel, Lord, as they're coming back home in a few days, Lord, on into the week. May you still, Lord, be with them as they come back home. And, Father, give them strength. Bless, Lord, each one. Heal the sick. Be with the ones, Lord, that are downtrodden that need you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Go downstairs and have a good, enjoy your meal.
And the master's calling, come in now.